Okay, welcome to the second shiur on the Sefer Yichud HaHespodus. Today we're going to get started with the actual Sefer. We're originally going to go through one of the introductions. There's a preface, there's an introduction. We're originally going to go through one of them, but I feel as if since the first chapter itself is also in some ways an introduction, as the first chapter goes through some of the topics that will be discussed later in the book, it just goes through them in a shorter, more abridged version. I think we'll start with the first chapter itself. Just a reminder, we're discussing here the goal is to try and develop a deeper connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through performing His Hespodus, through going to speaking to Hashem in an intimate and close way. So the first chapter starts off, Yisrael Asher B'chad Pe'er, the Jewish people in whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is glorified. Hespodus Noad Alavi Yichud Sholim Ben Mashpil Makabel. The goal of Hespodus, the end goal of Hespodus, is to bring a complete shlemos, a complete oneness, complete peace between the giver and the receiver. The ultimate giver being Hashem and the ultimate receiver being mankind. B'tchavrus muchlatet Hashem Yisbarach. With a complete chibur, a complete attachment to Hashem. It's interesting just to note that there are times in Rabbi Nachman's writings where he alludes to that there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also the Makabel. Right, typically we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, he's always being mashpia upon us. And we're always being makabel from him. But there are times, Rabbi Nachman writes, when the Jewish people are davening, that they actually become the mashpi and Hashem is the makabel in some way. Not for now, but it's just something to keep in mind. Uvrosh ha-dvarim yish lahavin, sha-dvar einu nasa tekef berega, echad ela b'shlav acher shlav. He says it's important we start off with the awareness that this isn't something that, a connection that's just forged in a minute. The second we decide I want to start doing exposures, that's something that's going to be easy for us, or something we just walk into and we feel like we'll be talking to our best friend. It's not the reality. The reality is like any other type of relationship, where it's step after step is how our relationship is formed. It's a process. It's also similar to anything important in life, or anything valuable in life. Anything valuable is going to be difficult to acquire, difficult to attain. And what's more valuable than a close relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? There's nothing. There's nothing more valuable for us. So it makes sense that it's going to take time. And it's going to take work. And it's going to take, it's a process. And Baruch Hashem, we have a lifetime to work on it. V'kamo b'tfila sh'amr chazal olam yisader adam shivcho shal makom v'achar kach yitzpalo. In the same way that Chazal teach about when they were structuring Shemoneh Esrei, so that there was a structure to it. Right, first there's Shevach, and then Siddharim, Abayim, Bezach, or Zeh, and then there were stages that came after. Right, first we start off Shemoneh Esrei with the first three brachos being Shevach. And then we have Bakasha, then we have requests from Hashem, and then we have thanks of Hashem. There's a Seder Devarim, there's an order to the way things go. Right, a person doesn't just walk into the king's room, right? They come to the holy city. And then they go through the gates of the palace, and then they walk up the steps, and then they are shown to the corridor of the king, right? And then finally they enter the room of the king. But it's a process, step after step process. Kachi sheder devarim echla kimas aleva hitbodus. Same too when we're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu hitbodus. It's also a process. It might be a different process. It might be a different set of steps and different stages in approaching the king. But it's there are still different stages. V'derech masham Esther Amalka. Virusosa lipol ezel etzel hamelach et mishalta. Lo pirs take of a davar. Right when Esther Malka wanted to ask of Ahasuerus to help save the Jewish people, she didn't just run into the room of the king and scream at her request. That's not how it was done. El biksha suda achas first. She asked for the first suda. Right, b'shama shamelach chafitzba. And then she heard and she understood that the king desired that she was there, Dahari Hoshid La Sharbid, right? He extended his staff and he showed her that in her eyes, in his eyes, she was favorable. The Aj Shabishlav Akhashlav Igia Regashabu Pirtsmimena, the Akta Nafshi Bishilosi Vami Bivakashti. Until she reaches that point where she can express what she really wants. There's a whole process. Right? Esther doesn't just run into Achashverosh and say that Haman's trying to kill my nation. No. Esther first comes into the room of the king. She sees she's favorable. So she asks for a suda. Then she asks for a second suda. And then at the suda, so she shares with Ahasuerus what's actually on her mind. There's a process. B'chul givonim shalot kashrus v'yichud, kigon b'sicha bin krovim v'kiyotzi b'zeh, in matzoyim tekev b'rega ha-tachlis v'hargashas oz ha-kesher. And this is really the case in all types of relationships. Whenever trying to connect with somebody, it doesn't typically happen, right, that two people, they just start talking, and immediately there's the deepest place of connection between the two of them. That's not typically the way things go. Bardas maniach latzman liyot bedargus hakodmot b'yishuvadas, right? A normal person sees that, okay, forming any relationship is a process, and it takes time. V'afsha dainin hakesher b'si ha'hergish v'agad. Doesn't even right now, it's not the highest point of connection. It's not at the highest point of emotions and feelings between us. It's okay because I understand that there's a process, right? And it's very interesting because it's also, the Sefer is not just going to help us in relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's going to help us in all relationships. And something we see, you know, when sometimes people are dating, so they think that for everybody, they think that it's just this, the second you start talking to someone, and the second date, it should be that you already have these unbelievable feelings for them, and you feel such closeness to them. And we have to really seriously question whether that's a fair expectation. Obviously, in the movies and in Disney, it's portrayed that is what happened, that it's love at first sight. But we have to really ask, is that realistic? Is that really a fair expectation? Is that even healthy? And obviously, when a person's talking to someone, that they're eventually going to be connected to in a very strong way. So we would assume that there are going to be certain signs that there is something special here, whether it's a certain excitement when talking to them or looking forward to seeing them. But at the same time, to expect to be at the highest level of intimacy when speaking to another person in such a short time just isn't a fair expectation. And it's not even a healthy expectation. So it's just like this is true in the physical world, it's also true in the spiritual world. Right, each and every one of us, we're going to do spodos, we're going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to understand that this is part of the process. And although it takes time and it might not feel right away, like we're at the climax of our intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with God. And maybe there were even times, very likely, there were times when I even felt closer to Him than I do right now. We have to understand that this is a process like anything else. This takes time. This is like any other relationship. And the more we invest, the more time, the more effort, the more heart into it, so the more results we'll see, without a question. And this is something we have to keep in mind in really every realm. It's something, patience, something we have to mechazik ourselves in. We need more patience in life in general, especially when we're investing in something. We're expecting to see results right away. It's just not fair. But patience is one of the most important factors in being successful in life. Can I continue to invest in something even though at this moment I don't see the dream coming to fruition? Right? You gotta keep plugging away. You gotta keep trying. To be patient and believe that if we keep working hard enough, Hashem will open the gates for us. B'zrat Hashem. So let's go to Aleph now. Rishis adav Hashem ashpia konis alav as a makabel, be'ofin shmegadel komaso. An important principle to keep in mind is when we're forming a relationship, it's very important that when a person who's looking to receive goes to a person and asking them to give something, whether it's to help them with something, or whether it's to just lend them an ear or give advice, whatever it might be, it's very important that the person that's going to be giving this advice, or giving parnasa, or giving their time, greets this other person in a way that builds them. Haynu shahamekabel margish be'ercho v'sameach b'yosu mekabel. Right, that the person that's coming to ask you of something feels as if they have value, and that they don't have to feel shame for asking for something. They don't need to be embarrassed. Right, but rather you should give off the impression that I'm happy you came to me. I'm happy that you felt comfortable enough to ask this of me. But derech mashal, for example, ani amagiel b'aisanotin. Right, a poor person comes to ask somebody for parnasa. They come to ask. They knock on a door and they want to ask somebody to help them out. Ve'ina notin mistabek be'etzem hanatina. Elameir panu v'libu v'samech lekraso mevateh zos b'amiras tov shigata v'kioti b'zeh. So the ani comes to your door, and he asks you for some money. And not only do you give him some money, but you know what you do? You smile at him, right? You say, I'm so happy you came. You just greet him in a very friendly way. You make him feel as if, wow, this person actually cares about me and cares that I'm coming to him. He's just not looking to get rid of me. But ofen zeh mekabel gidel komaso v'nika ercho be'einav l'achar mikan mekabel b'ofen achar l'gomri. Right, this person who's now collecting money isn't going to feel the same, you know, schleppiness and the same look at himself in the same way of I'm not good enough, and maybe I should be able to make my own parnas, and look down on himself in the way he was doing. He's not going to look at himself the same way. He's going to look at himself in a new light. That, wow, someone actually is happy to see me. He said, Tov Shigat. He says, it's good that I came. He actually cares that I'm here. I'm not just a nuisance. B'kach nidgalta haskama klolisli kashrus. Right, with this starts the opportunity for the two of them to connect. Adayin blilit yaches lepratius milos amikadol. He didn't even get into the details of why the person who's collecting tzedakah is such a special person. You know, he didn't even get into open the door and see the guy collecting money. He said, wow, what a beautiful hat you have. It's so amazing that you haven't given up and that you believe in the kindness of the Jewish people, that people will give you tzedakah. He doesn't even get into all this. He doesn't get into this specific person's talents and why he thinks that this person collecting money is so special. He doesn't even get into that. All he's done is he's shown this person who's collecting money that I have a desire to connect with you and I have a desire to give to you. That's my desire. And when a Jewish person hears Hashem, when a person hears that another person is happy that they came, Hashem is happy that we're speaking to him. It literally gives us life. To know that Hashem cares about what I say, that is life-giving. That is life-altering. To know that the master of the world has time and cares what I have to say, what a difference in knowing such a thing. God le komoso. My whole appearance is gets a tremendous rejuvenation just from knowing this. Be'enav b'shamo shehashem yisbarach chofetz bo v'rotzo shevo lefanav l'daber. When we know this and we see this clearly in our eyes, that Hashem desires for us, He desires for us to come speak to Him. Not for the person over there, not for that person, those people also. But He cares about what I have to say. What's bothering me? Right? It's such a special thing when somebody has someone in their life that, you know, if I walk into a room and I'm upset, that someone can call me right away and say, even if I'm not showing it, they say, why are you upset? It's knowing somebody on such a level, it's really caring about another person, noticing another person in such a way. Hashem cares about us. Hashem notices us. Hashem wants us to know that He's happy when we come. Hamilim hatovos noveos me'ashpia elyon yisparach. These words, we have to understand, of Hashem, Shetov Shabbat, that Hashem is saying, I'm so happy you came, they're always flowing from Hashem. It's a constant, ever-flowing sentence that's coming out of Hashem's mouth, so to say, and it's landing on us like dew that's giving us life. That sentence of, I'm so happy you're here, I'm so happy you came, Hashem is constantly saying that, and it should be constantly giving us life. It reminds me of a story. There's a story of two Russian men in a pub. See, their names are Igor and Boris. And they're drinking their sorrows away. And Igor turns to Boris and he says, Boris, do you love me? And Boris says, Igor, of course I love you. How can you even ask that? We're best friends. We're best buddies over here. So they have a great time. They take another shot. And Igor turns to Boris again and says, Boris, do you love me? Boris says, what's wrong with you, Igor? How can you ask if I love you? You know we're the best of friends. You know we're sitting here, we're drinking, we're having such a great time. And Igor says, yeah, you're right, let's pour another shot. And they pour another shot and they drink it. And then again, the same thing. Igor turns to Boris. But Boris, do you really love me? And Boris at this point is about to get angry. He's about to get very, very upset. Igor, don't you dare say that again. Don't you dare say I don't love you. Why are you saying such a thing? So Igor says to Boris, if you truly loved me, so you would know what's bothering me. And you haven't even noticed that anything's bothering me. It's so important for us to keep in mind on a constant basis that Kadosh Baruch Hu cares when something's bothering us. He recognizes it. And He's happy whenever we come to speak to Him. Happy whenever we share with Him what's going on in our life. Vahavana bazeh, page chaf, we turn the page. She'ein gadlus b'makum katnus. Right? The idea here is that that literally means that there's no place for greatness in a place of smallness. We're going to explain what this means. This is an incredibly important yesod. typically the way we think about things is if we have something large and we have smaller things, so usually we could fit the smaller things in with the larger things. For example, you're packing a trunk right for the airport, and it's very common that it's really the smartest thing we could do is we put in the big suitcases first, because the smaller suitcases you could squeeze in anywhere else. There will be room for the small suitcases, right? You just have to you squeeze them in on the side, by your feet, in the car, on a lap. It's a lot easier to fit those in. But in spirituality, it doesn't work that way. In spirituality, when we're in a place of godliness, we're in a place of largeness, of expansiveness. So there's actually no room for smallness. Those small pieces of luggage don't fit in. So if we're involved in a very holy thing, and we're focused only on that holy thing, the belief is that if you could truly be in this place of godliness, in this strong place of spirituality, of holiness, so the small things in life will fall out. The small things that the things that we struggle with, the small aspects of darkness we have inside of us, there will be no room for those pieces of luggage. Those will all fall out and they'll stay out. So im evakshim yichud begadlus lo yitakein lavo lekach mitoch katnas. If we're asking for Hashem for a connection in godless, a great connection, right? An expansive connection with Hashem. So we can't do it in a way that's through constriction. Because if we really want to connect to Hashem, we have to know ourselves first. We have to know how to connect to ourselves, who we truly are. Who we truly are isn't the darkness within us, our struggles, things we've fallen, right? It's our neshama. It's the light within us that's always shining. That's really who we are. We have to connect ourselves to this metzius, this reality, right? Do we understand that this is the reality? That this is the way Hashem feels about us? Regardless of everything inside, or the rest of the world that's telling us differently, that Hashem doesn't care. Hashem cares. Can we come to this reality already? And through this mindset, through this awareness, really, it's not even like we're creating something that doesn't exist. It's just an awareness of what God actually thinks of us, of how chaviv we are and how special we are to Hashem. So it has the ability to illuminate whatever situation we're in. And this is the great principle that we speak about, that in order to for one to leave a state of katnus, right? Katnus meaning, like we said earlier, being a place of smallness. I'm stuck on something that doesn't matter, right? I'm thinking about something that's just stupid. If I really think about it, there's no purpose in thinking about this item. There's no reason I should be focusing on it. I really shouldn't be bothered by it. Aim at asking me ma'ata klal. Don't focus on the smallness. Don't focus on all those things that we shouldn't have done and maybe we could have done better, or you know, if only I was here and only I did this. That's katnus. Don't focus on all that. Focus instead on how holy we are, how unique the Jewish soul is, how gadol it is, how great it is. Kilo shomei ha'yehudi baskol panimius milibo akores ma'laso shal neshamaso. That as if we hear on a regular basis, this is what we should be feeling, this is what we should be hearing, as if a baskol is coming out of the depths of our heart and speaking about how holy we are, how holy our soul is. This is what we should be experiencing. We shouldn't be experiencing negative thoughts about ourselves, no. Dafka, we should be understanding and looking more into the depth and beauty of our souls. And this ore, this light that we have within inside of us, when we focus on it, it will be docha any choshech. It will push away any darkness. And at a further point, as Rabbi Nachman speaks about more in Sichos Ran, at a further point, there will be a time to deal with the smallness. There will be time to deal with the sins that we committed. This is extremely important, especially in the month of Elul. And we're talking about tshuva a lot, and we're focusing on trying to do tshuva. 90% of tshuva, the Sfarim write, is focusing on the future. It's not focusing on the past and the sins that we committed. It's what am I going to do in the future to bring me closer to Hashem? What am I going to do differently in the future? Why am I special? Right, focusing on positive things that will bring us closer to Hashem, and not putting ourselves down with our struggles of the past. Because the more we view ourselves as part of that struggle is part of us, it's part of who we are, the more we'll never be able to get out of it. The more difficult it will be to ever really pull ourselves out of it if we think it's a part of ourselves. But let's see for what it is. What it is a struggle of the past, and it doesn't have any implication of who we could be in the future. Right, Shapam Achas Diber Im Rabbeinu, right? Somebody was speaking with Rabbi Nachman, the Kabbalah fun of Ma'od, and he was speaking to somebody that was that was in a lot of pain with whether they were holding their Avodas Hashem. They were very down on themselves. Anna Rabbeinu, Zichrono Lebracha Ve'Omer, Atavas Atov. Rabbi Nachman says to this person who's complaining about where he's holding his Avodas Hashem, how he's sinned and he's fallen to such a low place, Rabbi Nachman responds to him, do good. Focus on doing good. V'asok ba'avodaso be'emes. Right? Fill yourself up with serving Hashem in a truthful way. U'kishetasok v'tetamid ba'avodaso yisbarach. And when you're busy toiling and focusing on serving Hashem in the proper way, as I have tov yishar, so then the good inside of you and the good that you're performing will stay and it'll be a part of you. V'ara b'mele yitbatel. And the bad that you're worried about, that you're so nervous about, that's so upsetting to you, that you can't stop thinking about, that bad, it'll disappear. It'll be gone. Focus on doing good. Right? One of the greatest tricks of the Yetzer Hara is to get us to focus on the bad we've done in the past. It's the mamish trick of the Yetzer Hara. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time for vidui. And there isn't a time to express our sins before Hashem, of course there are. But 90% of the time, the goal and the avoda of tshuva is to be focusing on the future and just adding light and to be let the light dispel the darkness and not for ourselves to focus on the darkness. I'm just going to end here with this last little paragraph. Petach is bodus hi hagadlus hakoma kasher yehud yitchadish lahakir b'chashivusu lifnei Hashem. The entrance to spodus, the most important thing we have to keep in mind when we're starting to do spodus is building up the individual. How do I view myself? How do I see the importance of myself? Right? Do I see myself as extremely important in Hashem's eyes? Do I think Hashem cares about me? Do I think Hashem wants to hear what I have to say? This is the most important yesod. It's the most foundational idea we have to internalize if we want to be able to excel at Hespodidus, at talking to Hashem, developing a relationship with Him. Nate Brown, an author on books on emotions, also speaks about this. And not that we need her approval, but it's just an interesting insight, and I like the way she puts it as well, is that we're only going to be able to receive love when we believe that we're worthy of receiving love. It's the same thing in our relationship with Hashem. We're only going to be able to really receive the greatest level of Hashem that we'll be able to once we believe that Hashem actually loves us. Once we believe Hashem actually cares about us. It's the yisod to Hespodidus. If we want to be able to speak to Hashem in a way, in an intimate way, in a close way, we have to believe that Hashem actually wants to hear from us. We have to believe that we're worthy of hearing, and we are. So we have to believe that Hashem is saying to us when we come and speak to Him, ah, tov sheigata. I'm so happy that you came to speak to me. So before we come to this ultimate connection with Hashem, we have to first take this first step, right, of investing in this reality that Hashem cares about us and that He wants to hear from us. Even though we haven't yet felt this amazing high from Hespodus, we have to believe, right, that Hashem is still so happy that we're here. Even if in the beginning it's awkward for us and we don't really have so much to say to Him, we still have to believe that Hashem is happy we're here. This is really a struggle for us, and it's something we don't think about enough, but it's really the root of a lot of our struggles in tefillah in general. So we don't really feel like Hashem's in front of us. We don't really feel like Hashem cares. Why should He care? He has so many other things to do. I'm a little nothing. This is against the derech of Chassidus. This is against the derech of Rabbeinu Nachman. Rabbi Nachman, and this is obviously against what we're learning here in this book from Rav Kluger. Rabbi Nachman is trying to pound into us throughout Likutei Moran, throughout Sichas Moran, throughout all of his teaching, Meshivas and Nefesh. And Rav Kluger here is doing as well, is trying to pound into us this awareness that Hashem does care. We are important to Hashem. And as scary as that is, right, because that means what we do matters, we have to come to that realization. We have to start understanding that what we do does matter, and it matters to Hashem. B'chol zos ma'amin u'makir b'taymo v'ercho shal hadarga hanochachit ha'magdima v'arishona. We have to allow ourselves to get close enough to Hashem to hear Him say that He cares about us. Allow ourselves. Be willing to invest in this idea, in this reality, that Hashem cares about us. Invest just enough so that we can hear Hashem saying back when we go to Him and talk to Him, and spoke to us, even if it's not the most easy thing for us to do, or it's not the most natural thing for us to do, get close enough to Hashem to hear Him say to us, I'm happy you came. This is the first step in this Bodhis. Believing this idea, meditating on this idea, internalizing this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is excited to hear from us. He's excited that we started the shir on His Bodhis. He's excited that we're taking the next step in our relationship with Him. And He's there to cheer us on, and He's there to greet us. Thank you so much for joining.